In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Magi had come from the east searching for a king. "Where is he who was born king of the Jews?" they asked. They were knocking on the door of the royal palace, because after all, where else would you look for a king? But he wasn't there. The star in the sky that they had followed all the way from the east called out to them and said, "Come, follow me. It's this way." And they did. And the star led them to a house in a little village called Bethlehem, where there was this man named Joseph with his wife named Mary and a little baby named Jesus. And when they saw the little child, they knew that they had found he who had been born king of the Jews, which, if you ask me, is a real stretch. But it was their Eureka moment, and they opened their treasures and offered him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. The gold would come in handy for when Joseph would take Mary and the baby Jesus to Egypt for security reasons. You remember how when Israel had first made their great escape out of Egypt, that before they left, the Egyptians loaded them up with all of their gold and silver as their way of paying homage to these people of this God whom they worshiped. Now the new Israel, which is located in this little baby whose name is Jesus, this new Israel is now loaded up with gold from foreigners as he heads back into Egypt. It was their way of paying homage to this king who is the king of Israel. But what's with the frankincense and the myrrh? Incense and spices like these are only used for one thing, and that is to cover up stink. Frankincense and myrrh in particular were used traditionally to pack around a dead body to preserve the stink as it decomposed from getting to be too much. This is what the women were bringing to the tomb on that first Easter morning to pack around Jesus' dead body. It's what Nicodemus brought 75 pounds of to the tomb, the amount that would be used for a royal burial, the burial of a king. And so we have to wonder, are these magi from the east anticipating the death of this king and already now here making their royal offering in homage to him? In the account of the Passion of our Lord, according to St. Mark, as we just heard, there was a meal that took place before the Passover meal in the upper room. This meal took place in a village called Bethany, at the home of a man named Simon the leper. A woman is present. She's come with a gift for Jesus, an alabaster flask of perfume, which she proceeds to break open and pour over his head. The disciples who were there were pragmatic men, and they got very upset that expensive perfume like this was wasted on Jesus. But Jesus says, "She has anointed my body beforehand for burial. She has done a beautiful thing." It was her way of paying homage to her king. From Bethany, Jesus begins the long-anticipated journey to the city of Jerusalem. And when he gets to the village of Bethphage, he stops, and he orders a donkey to be brought from Jerusalem to taxi him the rest of the way. Not because he's too tired to walk, and not because he just doesn't want to walk anymore, but because his entire life has been scripted ahead of time by the prophets, and never more closely and in such fine detail as during this Holy Week. The Spirit of the Lord had put inspired words into the mouth of this prophet Zechariah, who declared, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey," on the colt, the foal of a donkey. The people who lined the side of the road expressed their support and approval of Jesus. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest. They had high hopes that this Jesus of Nazareth would be the king that they'd been waiting for ever since the days of King David, one who would restore national pride and dignity and make Israel great again. If they had had a red carpet, they would have rolled it out for sure, but they didn't. So they threw their cloaks onto the dirt road, and they spread palm branches on the ground instead. It was their way of paying homage to their king. But my, oh my, how fast things change. Jesus understands what the Magi understood and what the woman in Bethany understood and what Nicodemus understood, that for this king to be the king that he came into this world to be, the king must die. Palm Sunday is not actually the rally for political change that Israel thought it was. It's actually a funeral procession, and the one who is leading the procession is the one who is going to die. How quickly things go from good to bad. He quickly goes from being seated on a donkey to being seated on a cross. From crowds cheering, blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David, to crowds jeering, we have no king but Caesar. Here they cry, Hosanna, which means deliver us. Later they will cry, save yourself if you are the king. Along this road they take off their cloaks to lay at his feet. But at the cross he will be stripped of all of his clothes and they'll cast lots for them. What a disappointment this Jesus is. Two of his own disciples who had been with him on that road to Jerusalem would later, on a road to Emmaus, confess their deep disappointment in Jesus, saying, but we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Such is the way things seem when vision is clouded by sin. There was, however, another crowd that witnessed Palm Sunday and who saw things more clearly than they did and that we do. I'd invite you to take out your Bible and turn in it to Revelation, Book of Revelation, the 19th chapter, page 1040. Revelation chapter 19, page 1040. Beginning at verse 11, let's hear how the multitude of the company of heaven describe what they see as Jesus rides into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. Then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems, and he has a name written that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God the Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Here is Palm Sunday in high definition. The white horse is the donkey, the robe dipped in blood is his flesh, flogged and pierced. The sharp sword from his mouth is his word that convicts us of our guilt and pronounces our absolution. He treads the winepress of God's fury for your sin, and he empties the cup of God's wrath by drinking it down to the dregs for you. Behold the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he is your King. And he comes to hosanna you from your sin and death and hell, not by covering up the stink of your sin or of your death with perfumed spices, but with his own holy blood, more precious than gold and silver and frankincense and myrrh and the most expensive perfume. For he does not mask the smell of sin and death. He takes it on to himself. It takes your sin away, and he transforms your death into his life, and he fills your nostrils with the most pleasing aroma of heaven itself. For now, there is still a lot about this world and about our life that stinks. And sometimes it makes us want to puke. But the glory days will come, of that we can be sure. For God has highly exalted him who made himself nothing for you. And God has bestowed on him who humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross, for you the name that is above every name. For his sake, for his sake. The day is surely coming when we will see all of this just as clearly as they do now in heaven. But for now we live by faith alone in a crucified King. We preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to all who expect victory apart from a cross, and life apart from the death of that which is killing us. For now, we welcome him and we praise him as he comes to us under the most humble and lowly appearance, riding on his gospel, declaring his life creating and recreating word just as he did in the beginning, riding on the water of holy baptism, setting you free from your captivity to death and the devil just as he did Israel at the Red Sea, riding on the bread and the wine, giving you his very body and blood for the forgiveness of all of your sins and the strengthening of your faith, just as he did in the upper room. And so let us give him the homage that he is due. Just as the Magi gave him their gold and silver and frankincense and myrrh, just as Nicodemus gave him his spices, just as the woman gave him her perfume, and Israel threw down their robes at his feet, let us give him the homage that is due. Let us throw down our sins at his feet and repent. Let us put off our old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, and lay it at his feet. Let us take off all bitterness and rage, anger and slander, and every form of malice, and lay it at his feet. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but rather let us put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. Let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. And let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good works. This is how we pay our homage to Christ our King. This is how we say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Amen.